Would you like to have your Bibles open? Matthew's Gospel and the 13th chapter. Let me read the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl once more. We're going to be considering the 45th verse. So the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl, Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. I'm going to preach on this parable of the pearl of great worth, or I think the Authorized Version calls it the pearl of great price. And some of you might look at these two parables, and I just offer a word of caution. I've heard this said, that essentially they're both the same thing. There's not much to glean out of one as against the other, so why bother spending another message given to the parable of the pearl? Well, they're two different parables. If for no other reason, well, the Lord spoke them. He's the one who gave these parables. If he spoke like this, if he made a distinction of some kind, don't you think it's worthwhile us also stopping and thinking what one might mean and then what the other might mean? Anyway, take the image of a chair, just for an example. Have it repeated over and over again. The outline is exactly the same, and I grant you the outline of these parables is the same. But clothe that chair in one fabric, then clothe it in another fabric, in leather, in a different colour. And of course, what it does, it suggests all sorts of different things. One person comes along and says, oh, I don't like that chair. The outline of the next one to it is identical, and they love it to bits. It's just the way that we are made, and the Lord knows that. And so here are two parables that on the outline, they look almost identical, but in fact, they are parables which suggest other things. So the parable of the hidden treasure last week might have spoken to some of you and reached parts of your life that this one doesn't reach, and in turn, this one this morning might speak to us in a new and revealing way. I said last week that the Lord is trying to lift the fog regarding the kingdom of heaven in the minds of the disciples. And we are often in a fog. Quite frankly, we often don't realise what's right in front of us. And the disciples had the Lord Jesus Christ right in front of them. And they were so mixed up about the kingdom of heaven very often. And so the Lord had to lift the fog. And the parables are used to that end. And so what we want to do is we want to find out, what is this parable pointing us towards? What do we have to get out of it? What is the Lord intending for us to see, for you to see, for the disciples to see? If this morning it's just a sort of technical exercise, then it's of no real use. It's when it becomes applicatory, when it gets down into my very heart and into my life, and it's life transforming, because surely that's what the Lord intended. Well, I'll break it down like this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking. And it is this looking, this merchant looking for what? Looking for fine pearls. A merchant. I'd just like to stick that into your minds. A merchant. He's a trader. In fact, I think Moffat, when he translates it, I think he translates it as a trader. Now, that's right up to date, isn't it? So, it's partiality. The trader has a partiality. The merchantman has a partiality for a very specified activity. So, think about a merchant bank. Think about the merchant navy, if you like. It's that business which has to do with merchandise. So the Lord is pointing his disciples to one who is in the business of working for merchandise. A merchantman who conveys merchandise. He was a trader, he was a dealer in pearls. So if you think of the stock market today, the picture of the stock market on Wall Street or in London, wherever it might be around the world, the idea of a trader, that will do. And presumably he went over land and sea, just like traders do on their computer screens today, to make money. That's what a merchantman was about. He was in the business of dealing with merchandise. That's why he's called a merchant. And one of the things that I think that we need to observe straight away is that this man had to give his time, he had to give his devotion to find these fine pearls. But he does it because he believes that there is a reward in it. I can't imagine sitting at a computer screen on Wall Street or any other street for that matter, where all you do is you type in different bits of information in the hope, of course, that you'll be able to construct something that will pull out a gain. It will pull out profit. It will pull out money. But thousands of people do it every day. But while the stockbroker is doing his work, I presume this is how it works, that he does his work every day for a basic salary. Of course he does. But he's looking intently, he must be, for that eureka moment. Of course he is. That's one of the things. He lives on the cusp. She lives on the edge of hoping for that day when they cannot just find fine pearls, because that's what the text says. He's looking for fine pearls. This is a merchantman who has an interest in fine pearls. Yeah, but he is not just looking for fine pearls. Surely he's looking for the best pearls, because he wants to get rich. And everyone who is dealing with merchandise at some level is desiring to get rich. Now this tells me that this is elementary in understanding the parable, because the parable is about the pearl of great price, of great worth. It's about something that's worth more than all the other pearls put together. Now, if I just stop you here for a minute, the ordinary pearls that we go after in life, that put food on the table, that provide for basic necessities, are okay. But of course, they're not really okay, because we go after that which is the finest. Because we want more than just to put food on the table. We want more than just to be a merchantman doing the same old thing every day. We want to have that eureka moment. And across the world, even as I speak today, and many of you, if you're not careful, you will have bought into the same ideology, the same philosophy. The thing that really matters are riches. That's what really matters. The world is driven by it. And it isn't without significance that the Lord in his word has shown the great danger of seeking after riches. Besotted by riches, so that my satisfaction, even as I go from here to tomorrow, into the next week and for the rest of my life, besotted by riches. Now, it can't be wrong to have the best necklace, or the best ring, or the best house, or the best car. That can't possibly be wrong. It's impossible. It's ridiculous to suggest it would be so. But if my quest in life, my quest, my bending all my energies, my determination, my cravings, is for riches, for fine pearls, what might I come up with in life at the end of life? I'm sure Josh won't mind me telling you that he had a friend who he grew up with at school. And this friend yearned through all of his later educational life. So, bend all my energies, university life, the whole deal, wait for it, to dream of getting a corner office in some practice in London or in Leeds with the right car outside. So you bend all of your endeavours for the finest pearls. And I'm just saying this morning, are we really to believe, honestly, are we really to believe that God has intended us in this life for such things? That we would just go after this world's wealth, a wealth that perishes, only to find that those riches eventually just perish and fall away into the ground. I think this man thought he knew what he wanted. He went after the finest pearls. And this morning there may be those of you who have learned this world's philosophy. The only thing that really matters is to go after this world's finest pearls. Jesus is teaching that the kingdom of heaven is very, very different from the kingdom of this world. I've never thought, and I don't to this day, think that the capitalist model is particularly brilliant. But many of you will have already bought into it. You think it's wonderful. It's all you've ever known. It's all you'll ever be taught. Don't ever think, though, that God thinks highly of it, any more than he thinks highly of another model. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Be careful that all that matters to you is just going out and getting fine pearls. Going after merchandise. Nothing else matters. There is something much bigger to be found. Something much better. The Lord set up the picture of the merchantman for a specific purpose. Let me just tell you that there were those who followed after Jesus. You'll be astonished by this. They followed after him just for a free meal ticket. I mean it. They followed after him because he could feed them. He was a cheap meal. Be careful that you don't look at this life as just being a way to get rich and then turning to religion as if that in turn might somehow make me rich in this world. It is like this, that the kingdom of heaven is better than the kingdom of this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ has to teach the disciples and prove this to them. The fog needs to lift. I think it's very sad, I have to say this to you, that the fog of this world with regard to riches, with regard to wealth, with regard to merchandise, is one that very rarely lifts for many people. When it does, it's possible that you'll be able to see the pearl of great price, the pearl of great value. So, what about the value for this man? What about the value? Has he found something bigger, better than the fine pearls? I might ask you before you leave this morning, is it possible that you will find something of bigger and greater value than the sum total of what you now possess in this world? As I preach, you might ask yourself, what are my fine pearls? What matters to me? What are my greatest riches? I think that this man's goal was wealth. I think it was riches. And if it was just doing his job, no problem in many ways. Cast your mind back, for those of you who know. Think about the gold prospectors in the United States in the mid-1800s. They set out from the east to go almost 2,000 miles across America, some of them in the hope of just finding one gold nugget. Well, they'd have been made. Some of them dreamt of a bucket full of nuggets, and others dreamt of an entire seam of gold. Same with oil. Maybe they'd get a little bit of oil, but underneath them perhaps they were standing on a lake of it. Imagine those prospectors when they discovered a lake of oil. Imagine when they discovered that the whole mountain was full of gold. These people were seekers. And I just want to say to all of you this morning, have you set your heart on just one nugget of gold? When there is a whole mountain right set before your very eyes this morning, the pearl of great price is the gold of the gospel. The treasure of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you set your expectations too low? Yes, we can imagine that man going out and expecting to dig for gold and finding one gold nugget. Imagine what happens when he finds that the whole mountain is full of gold. The point is that amongst all the pearls that we count pearls, I like the way the wording is in the NIV. He found one of great value. There's only one. Part of the problem this morning for some of you will be this, that you don't really have a grasp of the outstanding rarity and the beauty of the pearl of great price, the pearl of great value, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He found it, and it makes sense naturally that he did everything to purchase it. He did everything to get his hands on it. How many of you have settled for the most miserable one piece of that gold nugget when you could have had a mountain of gold? You need to get your hands on it, friends. You need to get your hands on it, though it costs you everything. Now, I ask a question of you. You can answer it for yourself. Have you never thought, why isn't everyone a Christian? Why on earth, for instance, in this room, why isn't everyone a Christian? If I offer you one gold nugget and then I offer you a bucket full, which do you go for? Why isn't everyone a Christian? Right, I'm going to tell you why. It is because at heart the gospel is undervalued. You have never, ever truly seen the value of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me put it into terms that you'll all understand. A wife says of her husband, "I am undervalued by you." What does she mean? A husband says to his wife, "I am undervalued by you." In other words, you've not really truly seen my worth. You've looked past my real worth. And what does that feel like? For a husband or for a wife? What does it feel like to God when we undervalue his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And although this might not strike you as being very important and draw your hearts out, what I'm going to say now, but I'm going to tell you what Christ's true value is. And it's at this point you need to listen as intently as you can. Christ's true value is his righteousness. That is his value. If you asked me this morning to put a value on the person of Christ, I want you to take away this with you. It is his righteousness. And you say, but I'm not very attracted by that. Well, I'll tell you why you should be attracted. Because unless you have his righteousness, you will remain forever dull. You will remain forever corroded and broken and wasted. You will remain forever ruined. In God's sight, you are dull, dull, dull. There is no luster to you. And until the righteousness of Jesus Christ comes and clothes me in all of my dullness because of my sin, I shall never shine like the sun. I thought of bringing this morning, I've got two objects. One that's covered in 24 karat gold. I've, with John, laid gold on this object. And I've got another one that's identical to it that is completely rusted and corroded away. And I didn't bring it because I knew that if I brought them to show you, at the end you'd be talking more about the objects than you would about the spiritual lessons which are meant to be learned. But these two objects are identical. One is 24 karat gold and the other one is rusted and corroded. Listen very carefully. It is like this. We've got nothing going for us. We're corroded. We may think in our brighter moments that we glitter, but we don't. We may think that we've got our own self-styled morality with perhaps a table of commandments that we think that we can keep, but we can't. The Bible says all of our righteousness is just like filthy rags before God. We're found out, friends. We've been rumbled. The truth is out. God knows all about us. That is the truth. And without his righteousness, his true worth, I am seen in God's sight all of my life with my sins on display, never ever cleansed, never ever hidden from his sight. I wonder this morning if there is someone here who might just honestly say, do you know, all of my life I have undervalued the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you that he is the most valuable thing in the whole universe? He is the most valuable person. He's the creator of the universe. He's the maker of this day. He upholds all things. All things hold together in him. He is the Redeemer. He is scintillating and beautiful in God's sight. There is no one like him. Have you undervalued him? The reason why you're still going after that miserable little bit of a gold nugget in this world is that you have undervalued the Lord Jesus Christ. And if his righteousness becomes mine, I'm saying to you, it is his righteousness. That's his value. His value to me is his righteousness. If his value, if his righteousness is credited to my account, then I am seen to be scintillating and beautiful in God's sight. Have I undervalued the Saviour when he is the one I should have valued more than anything else in the world? Go away and have a nice car and a nice house and a nice anything you like. I don't mind. But don't miss the Lord Jesus Christ, the pearl of great value, for these things which just rust and perish away. I do one more thing to say about this, that if you don't value the Lord Jesus Christ, and it might be possible that there's somebody here who doesn't, you must have an overblown value of yourself. You've got to have. You must really think that you are someone. And anyone who becomes a Christian realizes that they aren't anyone. I'm no one. I am nobody. And I am dull. And I have no sheen to me. I've been found out. I am rumbled. God knows everything about me. And I prize the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything in the world. And it recalls the hymn that you just sang. I don't get you to sing it to trap you, but you all sang it. Jesus, and shall it ever be. Ashamed of Jesus? Yes, I may. When I've no guilt to wash away. No tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Who's the saint ashamed of Jesus now? Have you got your value system right, friends? That's all I'm asking you. Have you got your values right? Really, really and truly, have you? If you're not a Christian this morning, you haven't got your values right. Get your values right. Be willing this morning to stop and look at your value system. Think about it. Am I just a person of merchandise? All I care about are the things of this world, while all along there was treasure beyond my imagination. This morning, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've ever been, you can take the Lord Jesus Christ and you can take him to yourself. And he will be the most valuable thing, not just for today, but for the very rest of your lives. It was often said to me as a child, I remember it. I can hear it ringing in my ears now from my parents. I can hear their voices. If you do that, he won't value it, they used to say. If you do this, he won't get the value. He won't have a value of it. They were trying to teach you the value of things. Can I teach you the value of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? If you haven't seen his value, don't leave this place without considering God's greatest gift and the value of his righteousness to you. So we see this man, this merchantman, and we see him looking. We see him finding the pearl of great value, the pearl of great cost, of great worth. And then we find this merchantman, he returns home to sell everything. Just to tell you, which tells me that when he set out to look for the first finest pearls, he had everything else in reserve. His home was still intact, his finances, everything. All of that was still in place. Because he could go out and he could buy the finest pearls. But when he found the best one, he had to return home to sell everything to get it. In other words, to get your hands on this, the very best thing, it will cost you everything. Everything. This is the make or break deal, if you like, between people becoming Christians or not becoming Christians. I really believe this. You can work it out in 2 seconds. It's going to cost me everything to be a Christian. That's it. That's just what it means. It will cost me everything. I'll show you. The reason I read the account of the Ethiopian eunuch was just to illustrate this point. Some people have said he was a merchantman of sorts himself. I suppose he must have been. When he left home in Ethiopia, he must have counted himself poor. He must have done, because he was looking for something. You say, well, he had everything. I don't want to do this, but anyway, I'll do it. He's the George Osborne of Ethiopia. That's who he is. And I think George Osborne himself is, I think he's a multimillionaire, actually. I don't know whether I want to trust him, but anyway. He's a multimillionaire, George Osborne. He's the treasurer for this country. This man, the Ethiopian eunuch, is in charge of the treasury of the Queen of the Kandake. You say, well, he obviously wasn't poor. I'll tell you how rich he was. He had his own chariot. And he can make it from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem. I think this is a man who is rich beyond measure, but poor. He's searching. He's looking for something. Ethiopia didn't have the pearls that he wanted, that he could get his hands on. And so what does he do? He goes to find more precious pearls in the land of the Jews. He thinks that the Jewish religion will provide him with the pearls that he really needs. And if you say to me, did he find those pearls? I think the answer is absolutely emphatic. No, he didn't. He left Jerusalem reading the Bible, reading the Old Testament. And because of what the rest of the story tells us, it's obvious that the pearls in Judaism proved to be no pearls at all. And of course they're not. So the pearls of Ethiopia did not suit him and did not satisfy him. And the pearls of the Jewish religion did not satisfy him. But when Philip met him, he was within touching distance of the pearl of great price. And with Philip's splendid skill and his wisdom, led and helped by God, he comes alongside that man. I mean, I don't know how you read it, but this is how I read it. He invited him up into the chariot. I don't know how big this thing was. And it's obvious that they kept traveling. Because the Ethiopian had to say, we'll stop the chariot so Philip can get down and get out. But it's his next move that's so compelling. Because he now has to risk everything. Philip's explained to him who the Lamb of God is who takes away the sin of the world. Ah, well, it will now cost everything to follow him. This is the George Osborne of that world. What about the retinue? What about all the people who were with him? He has to now go back to Ethiopia in tow with all these people who have watched him make a fool of himself with this man and then go down into the waters of baptism and be baptized. I tell you, it's cost him everything. Everything. What chance of him keeping his job when he gets back home? I don't know. I don't know. But I put it to you like this, that he cared nothing for the consequences of what it cost him when he went back home, because he was prepared to leave all the consequences of that with the Lord and trust him by faith. And no matter what the company saw or witnessed of this man's faith that day, nevertheless, he was willing to commit all to the Lord. And I put it to you that he was prepared to sell all, and that means to sacrifice all, to sell everything. Everything that I hold dear, it might cost me everything, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him for the rest of my days. What do you count to be your treasure? Well, if you found the pearl of great price, if you found the pearl of great value, why, you'll give up anything. You'll give up anything to get it. When it says, by the way, that he went away and sold everything that he had and he bought it, doesn't mean that he can buy his salvation. Nothing could be further from the truth. Salvation is the free gift of God that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's given to everyone who comes to him by faith, young and old. Whoever you are this morning, come as you are with your sins. Come to the Lord Jesus. But you'll be able to work out, even as I preach, what it'll cost you. If it's worth anything, it's got to cost you something. It'll cost you perhaps your reputation, your friendships. I don't know what it might cost. Trust the Lord. Come to him. Be like the Ethiopian of old. Grasp that pearl of great price, that pearl of great value, and all the other pearls. Well, you can leave them. They don't count. They don't matter. They're of no worth, really. The Lord Jesus Christ is that pearl of great price, that pearl of great value. I finish like this. That when the Ethiopian had found the pearl of great value, it says he went away rejoicing. That's it. If you're a true Christian and you found the pearl of great value, you'll be a rejoicing man or woman. If you're not, you're still looking for the miserable little nuggets, the poor pearls of this world. find the Lord Jesus Christ. Do as this parable says. Get looking. Are you a merchant person? Nothing wrong with that. Look beyond the merchandise of this world. Look to the kingdom of heaven. Looking for fine pearls? Look for the pearl of great value. Go away when you found it. Sell everything, no matter what it costs, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and place your faith in him. And trust him, and you will go on your way rejoicing like the Ethiopian eunuch of old. It's a wonderful story, a wonderful parable. God bless it to our hearts. Amen. Amen.